Welcome to Under the Tamarind Tree. Under the Tamarind Tree features great ambassadors and world changers for Montserrat and the Caribbean. Listen as you learn about their lives and the music they love. Welcome to Under the Tamarind Tree.
Our guest this week, Under the Tamarind Tree, is Abigail Kelly, international soprano. Welcome, Under the Tamarind Tree, Abigail.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
It's delightful to have you under the tamarind tree. Have you had any tamarind tree experiences?
I don't think I have, to be honest. I think this is my first tamarind tree experience. But from what I gather about being under the tamarind tree, being as a focal point of people getting together, I think that being in my church choir would have been like being under the tamarind tree when I was 11.
And when you sing, because I know you sing to large audiences, is that a tamarind tree type experience?
I suppose it could be, actually. You feel like you're under the umbrella of everybody that's listening to you and watching you, and they're wishing you all goodwill while you're on stage. So, yes.
And we have you under the tamarind tree because this is going to be a very special one. And you will share with us the music that you love, the Christmas music that you love.
Yes.
But before you get to that, we hear a lot about you and your singing. And we would just like to find out, what sort of little girl were you?
I was quite, I wouldn't say I was precocious at all, but I enjoyed performing and I enjoyed watching performances. So from a very early age, my parents encouraged me to be musical. I played the piano from the age of 4. I went to dance school at the age of 4 until about 19 years old. I studied the violin for a short while, although that I found that that wasn't really my instrument. I wasn't making a very good sound on the violin, so I abandoned that. I joined my local church choir when I was about 11, and I played in various orchestras and bands at school. So it was quite a natural progression, a natural decision for me to take this on as a career. It was a decision that my parents actually didn't agree with at first, but they are now one of my my biggest fans.
And you speak of your parents, and you speak of your local church and your local community. Which is your local community?
In Birmingham. So for many years. And I will probably on Midnight Mass as well, and maybe this show would have gone out already, but maybe on Sunday I would have been singing at the local church, their carol service, if I'm not too jet-lagged from this trip. yes, so that's my local church choir, and it's there where I learned a lot about music. In fact, my piano teacher was the wife of the choir master. So from a very early age, I was involved in that church musically. And it was a natural progression, therefore, that at the age of 11, my piano teacher said, well, why don't you come and sing on the choir? And I thought, okay, I didn't think I really sang very well. I had a very, very quiet voice when I was little. People would try and get me to sing louder in school. But what I had was a very sweet, quiet, natural voice. So it developed, having been in the choir since the age of 11. That's where my voice really, really developed.
You mentioned a little bit about school already. Tell us a little bit more about your time at school.
I had a lovely time at school. I went to a junior school, which was a private junior school, so there weren't very many children in the school. I think there were 11 children in my class, which in England is very, you know, very rare. Usually you have a school classroom full of 30 to 32 children, 28 maybe the minimum. But we had a very, very small number of children in our class. So everyone got a lot of attention, and we were very much encouraged by this teacher at our school called Mrs. Slaymaker, which is a fantastic name for this time of year. Mrs. Slaymaker. And she would, every year, she would put on dancing and singing extravaganza at the school. We'd have this school show at the end of the year. And she really encouraged us to explore singing and dance and drama and explore our talents. And I thank her for that, because that was a great experience to have inside school, as well as the experiences that I had at dance school when I was a little girl too. So growing up for me was a lot of fun. Lots of going to school in the morning, doing all my academic work, and then coming back and going to, it might be piano lessons on one day, going to dance school a couple of times a week. Eventually I'd go to choir rehearsals up to twice a week. I'd go to church, sing in the choir twice on a Sunday. So it was a heavy schedule of activities, extracurricular activities that were mainly based around music. And then I'd go to piano lessons outside of school as well. And by the time I got to senior school, I was doing so many things outside of school. We were able to get me involved in learning the violin inside of school, which made a big difference. So that was really, really useful to do. But as I said, the violin just was not my instrument. I didn't play it very well at all. So I soon left that behind and concentrated on the singing.
And you mentioned school, who inspired you at school, but what about at home?
Oh, well, definitely my parents inspired me. Because I'm an only child, there wasn't really anybody else around on a constant, regular basis in terms of older siblings to look up to. So I very much was aware of my parents, what my parents did, what my parents listened to in terms of music. They're the reason, really, for my love of classical music, both them and the church, because they were really instrumental in making sure that when I was as young as I went to my first opera at the age of about 9, something like that, maybe even younger. And I remember those experiences very well. They made sure I went to go and see operas, I went to see musicals, I went to see pantomimes that were, you know, really specifically designed for children. So I had a very wide experience of watching performances, seeing live music happen. I'd go and see orchestras. So I got a lot of my love of the genre of music that I work in from my parents.
And I can't resist asking you, what was that first opera that you saw?
I think it was Aida, actually. That was the first one I saw. It was quite a big one to see for such a young age. But I don't think I understood it, but I enjoyed the spectacular nature of it. Mm-hmm. It's such a big opera. It really, really is. I don't really remember having a specific feeling towards the voices or the voice types or the people that were on stage. I just remember the general feeling of being quite overwhelmed by it all, because it was such a big occasion.
And this would be a lovely time, a lovely occasion to have your first bit of music that you would like to share with us.
Yes. Well, a lot of these pieces of music I've chosen, the first few especially, are songs that I sing at choir at this time of year. So even though I don't go to my church choir on a regular basis, because I'm usually off touring the world, I come back and I sing with them at Christmas, very importantly at Christmas. And this first one we do every year, it's called Riu Riu Chiu, and it's a traditional Spanish Christmas carol in honor of the Virgin Mary. And it's derived from medieval dance forms from the 15th century. And this one in particular, I'll tell you what the words are. Riu Riu Chiu, la Guadaribera, Dios guarda el lobo de nuestra cordera. And that means the river banks protect Our Lady, the God keeps Our Lady from the wolf, God keeps Our Lady from the wolf. So usually the men sing all the verses and the women sing the refrain along with the men. And we usually laugh at the men for trying to get all the Spanish words, which they sometimes don't quite get out quite right. So we're quite happy that we only have to sing the refrain.
Riu, riu, chiu, la guarda ribera, Dios guarda el lobo de nuestra cordera.
heard Rio Rio Chio, a traditional Spanish carol, and I'm speaking to Miss Abigail Kelly, soprano. So you left school?
Yes.
School seemed as if it was delightful.
It was wonderful.
And you left school and you went on to do what?
Well, I left school and I had the intention of going on to do genetic research, something like that. I was very interested in genetic research and people with genetic illnesses that they may pass on to their children and how you go about not really rectifying those illnesses, but maybe screening for those illnesses. However, there was this big conflict within me because there was this part of me that was very, very musical and had been from that early age. So all I really wanted to do was sing. And I spoke to my teacher about it, my headmistress, Miss Inch, at King Edward VI, Handsworth Grammar School for Girls. And she called my parents into the office and they said, look, your daughter is talented. I think you need to pursue this and this is the way we're going to go about it. And I went and I took a year out, took some time, took some perspective, and I auditioned for music college and got into Birmingham Conservatoire with a scholarship, which was wonderful for my parents because I live in Birmingham and based in Birmingham, have lived in Birmingham all my life. So I actually didn't really move away for my university degree. So I was able to keep up going to my local church choir and keep up a contact with all of the local things that I did. So I went to Birmingham Conservatoire, spent 4 years there, did my undergraduate degree, had a wonderful time, lots of hard work and lots of fun all at the same time. We did a lot of musical theatre as well, which I then had another bit of a dilemma in terms of, do I go down the musical theatre route or do I go down the classical and more specifically the operatic route? So I kind of made up my decision. I think I've made up my mind now because mainly I sing in operatic groups. But there's still parts of me that likes to sing a bit of musical theatre. In fact, in the concert that I gave in Montserrat just a few days ago, I did a couple of musical theatre pieces, one called Johnny One Note, which was quite funny because apparently there's a Calypsonian or a Calypso person who's vying for the crown who was called One Note. So that was a bit of a coincidence. But yes, so I went to music college. I left Birmingham Conservatoire with a with an undergraduate degree, first class undergraduate degree. In fact, I graduated with the highest marks in my year. And that journey carried me through to do a postgraduate degree at the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama in Glasgow, which was another very interesting time in my academic musical life.
Seem as if it all just happened.
Yes.
You know, it just rolled from one thing to the next.
Yes, it did.
Were there challenges?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
How did you overcome these?
Well, I think the main challenge for any singer is that there were just so many. You're surrounded by so many fantastic singers, so many. The competition out there is really, really great. So in order to even get to the point where I'm at, which is, you know, I'm pretty much starting out on my career. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of hard work and energy and effort and sacrifice, all those, especially when you have friends that I went to my senior school with, who I still am in very close contact with. We're very good friends, we're very close. Because they're not operating in the industry that I'm operating in, they have to develop an understanding that I can't be out until 2 o'clock in the morning. I have to make sure that I'm in bed and that I'm well rested, that I look after my voice. I can't be in smoky environments. In fact, the smoking ban in the UK was an absolute godsend for singers. It really, really was. We were able to go out and socialize without having to breathe in smoke from other people and have that affect your voice. So there's a lot of sacrifice in terms of, you know, your friends will go out to things and you have to go, I can't go out tonight. I've got to rest my voice because I've got a song class in the morning. There's other sacrifices as well. For example, now when I go out, I'm touring with an opera company, with English Touring Opera. And I like to say that as soon as my contract starts, my life is theirs, basically. So I'll travel around the country and I'll perform for adults. I'll perform in children's operas. And mainly I'll perform on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays, kind of weekend days. And then on the Sundays, I'll be jetting from one end of the country to another end of the country. So when my friends who have 9-to-5 Monday to Friday jobs are ready to go out and socialize at the weekend, I have to again say, I'm so sorry, but I'm actually in Cardiff, or I'm in Perth and I'm performing that night, or I'm driving back that day, or lots of things like weddings and, you know, baptisms and christenings that I've not been able to be at for my very good friends because of this job, but I love it so much and they're very understanding. So it's important that my friendship base is very understanding about what I do.